Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to Las Blancas Podcast. I'm your host, Yash Thakur. And we are back to discuss another loss. Well, who would have thought that average performances don't always yield positive results? Yeah, we are talking about Real Madrid's game against BK Häcken and away trip to Sweden, where we lost again and find ourselves in a very tricky position, not going to lie, in that group in order to qualify for the next rounds of the Champions League. So yeah, it's going to be very tricky. And we are back to discuss this game. We are going to break it all down for you guys, and to do that I've got Kanita with me. Kanita, before I hand it over to you, how did you take that loss? How are you taking that loss? Is that feeling sunk in that the last three games probably we were the second best team, right? In this game at least we had a good 45 minutes, I would say, but overall again we faltered. We probably should have lost that Chelsea game as well. 9 times out of 10, we probably lose that. Barcelona, it was absolutely no contest. And then another defeat. And, okay, we'll get into that later. We'll get into what state the squad is in right now. But, yeah, how did you take that loss?
Well, I don't know. I took that loss badly when I saw the reactions of the players after. Like, that was the thing that, you know, just made me say enough. But during, like, the game was very frustrating. And even the goal, even though we took the lead, like, pretty early on, it still wasn't feeling like, you know, we were leading. And it was that kind of game, you know, very frustrating. And I don't know, I'm tired of complaining. You know, I mean, that's what we do most of the time, complain, you know, about bad stuff and some good stuff that we talk about, you know, when it brings us joy. It's very fun to talk about, you know, but lately there's not been much of that. So, yeah, especially in the last, what, like 3 weeks or something. Yeah, very, very bad. So, yeah, I'm not fun. I'm not taking in, you know, any fun. And Torreira's excuses aren't helping either. You know, we talked about it last time after El Clasico. And we'll probably touch upon it as well. So, yeah, it just keeps happening. So, yeah, not good. Not good.
Yeah, well, I wasn't expecting us to lose this game. And I mean, we discussed about this, that this group is far from, you know, straightforward. Häcken, they managed a draw in the first game against Paris FC. Now they have won against Real Madrid. They are in a pretty good spot. And we discussed what state they are coming into this, because, you know, they've just finished their season. They have been very close to winning the title. and they are a side who have been in the group stages before, have done well, and you know, it was always going to be tricky, this one. Where Chelsea were our biggest challenge, the other teams could definitely prove to be a slippery slope, and we can definitely see it in the results now. So yeah, not very pleased with the result, absolutely. But before we get into, you know, the nitty-gritty details about what happened and how the game went about, which, I mean, we will discuss it in parts, we need to also address this injury thing that has, you know, crippled not just the women's side but also the men's side at this point, because, you know, it seems like the fates are intertwined or something. The men's team pick up a lot of injury, and then suddenly, if that Barcelona game could not be any worse, we lost Ferrer, we lost Linda Caicedo, and we lost Toletti. And both Toletti and Linda Caicedo, if I'm not wrong, Kanita, you can correct me, they won't be available for this year, right? And Linda will return some mid-Jan or something. Toletti probably as well sometime early in the January. I don't know. I don't know about Ferrer, but yeah, so we have lost them for a significant period of time, considering how things are coming thick and fast now. So, you know, not the ideal situation you wanted your team to go into this, especially after following up from those two performances against Chelsea and Barcelona. Barcelona was completely shattering. Chelsea also, it was pretty bad. So, you know, you want to put your best foot forward to get back into that winning mentality or that winning run, right? And that did not happen. Instead, we got injuries, and now it's even harder to, you know, sort of make or bounce back from this position. And that is what really scares me, because you know what they say, when it rains, it pours. So that is what has happened in those three games. And we always kept mentioning that, you know, this upcoming week is going to be tough. This upcoming week is going to be tough, facing Real Sociedad, Chelsea, Barcelona, Haken in consecutive games is not easy. And it shows in the results now. So, yeah, what did you make of our injury situation, and how much do you think it has affected this game, or how much do you think it had an impact on, direct impact on the result in this game?
Yeah, so first I want to add on to the, you know, updates. Well, first of all, I don't think that anyone really knows what's up with Feller. It's maybe discomfort or something, or overload, or I don't know. I mean, Arantxa said she's going to be back like mid-December. Same with Toletti, like mid-December or something. But she has like fracture of the humerus. I think it's fracture, yeah. But she doesn't need surgery. It's the upper arm, so it's about the arm. And yeah, I mean, Linda, we know already it's about the ankle, and her 2023 is over. So yeah, there's that. But yeah, again, about a fella, I don't really know, nothing concrete. So yeah. Yeah, I mean, those three players really, really, really made a difference, you know? So losing all three of them, and after a loss that we suffered in El Clasico, losing all three of them, it's just like just another hit. Like, come on, we received enough of that. It's fine, but no, three more, and it's them, and it's very bad. Like, I knew that it was a big possibility that we could lose this game, like even before the lineup was out or anything, because they're really important. Like, we talk about Linda all the time, how important she is. Like, we already lost Weir for the whole season now. We don't have Linda for the rest of the year. So, yeah, it's very bad. Like, our two main players are just missing. So, there's that. And on top of that, Toletti has been also carrying the team a lot and also making the games a bit less insufferable, to be honest. And Feller is also great to watch, and game changer as well. So, yeah. three very important people and three people that, you know, give us some joy on the pitch, you know, just by watching them individually. Yeah, I was not excited to watch this match without them. So, yeah, and I didn't enjoy it. So there's that. And I really don't know how is it going to be in, like, the next month. I mean, yeah, I'm sure we have, like, one more game and then international break. So there's, like, 2 weeks off of their injury time. So, yeah, at least that's, like, helping us. But, yeah, I don't know. It's not going to be easy. I don't like this. I don't like this at all. Yeah.
And, you know, the thing that it actually does is it takes away any sort of depth option that we have, you know. And we'll speak about this when we talk about the second half and how things went downhill. We did not have many options to bring on to, you know, who can be an actual game changer for us. Because with Weir's injury, that is a big loss. Obviously, like, we lost our top goal scorer, our top assist provider, our everything. Then you have Linda taking up those reins. She also gets injured. With Bruin, the only backup we have is Feller. Feller also gets injured. So, you know, there's not many real goal scoring options off the bench, right? So that is how it also affects us. But yeah, for the uninitiated, we lost the game 2-1. And let's start to break down this game by looking at the lineups first. So I'll read out our lineup from defense to the attack. It was Misa in goal. Kenty was back at right back. Rocio, Ivana, Savava, Tere and Zornosa in the double pivot, with a front four of Atenea, Maite, Olga and Bruin. So I'll share my thoughts initially when I saw the team sheet, and then I'll hand it over to you, Kanita. When you look at this lineup, it's not bad, right? I mean, we've been asking about Rocio and Ivana together for a while. You know, in this game, I think Ivana once again showed that she is, you know, our best center back. And we'll discuss it about how she actually manifested that opening goal that we scored by herself. But yeah, ironically, the thing that we were demanding for results in conceding two goals from Haken. So, you know, it's sort of a counterpoint to what we were trying to make. But yeah, I mean, I don't think it was the selection. I think it was us. We have this habit where we start strongly and then we finish really, really poorly because we cannot sustain that. Or our games always are like that, right? Where a lot is happening, we look really good in the first 15 minutes and then it just fades off as the game goes on. And that is what happened here, and it happened in a very impactful manner, let's say. Tere and Zornosa, I mean, there's no real option there. Don't think Olaya was going to get a chance. Tere will probably always start now, and she should. Nice to see Maite, but again, that has come out of necessity and not a choice. That's not a lineup selection. I think that is all we basically had. And then Olga, Bruin and Atenea, again, not many options. So, you know, that front four sort of picks itself up due to injuries. But not much to complain. Like, I wouldn't even go that far to say, okay, maybe, you know, Kenty's selection was bad. Okay, we can probably include Oihane, but, you know, Oihane also did not have a good game against Barcelona. You know, Salma Paraluelo absolutely smashed our right side of the defense. So maybe that was something that was going on in Toril's mind when making this lineup selection. But yeah, I when I saw the team sheet, I don't think I would, you know, complain a lot. Okay, this is not a team that could win against Haken. This is a very second grade sort of lineup. It was still a good lineup. It was still a good lineup to take us over the line, right? And that is what I felt. What were your thoughts on the lineup? And were you surprised by any inclusion or any exclusion?
So here's the thing. I would disagree on Doriana part against Barcelona. I mean, I really loved her game, and for what she could do, she really did well. So yeah. But I also know that in the game against Barcelona, she was struggling in the last like 25 minutes. Well, with her physical state, like she was doing a lot. I don't really blame her, you know. So, but yeah, she went through that to the end of the match. So maybe it was like a rest or something. I have no idea. But yeah, like you said, there's nothing, not, there's really nothing to complain about. I mean, the injuries really did it for us, you know. So there's that. Everything is pretty much expected. I mean, at least we got like Ivana and Rocio. But instead of, you know, our defense getting annihilated, our midfielder got annihilated this match. So yeah, you know, interesting times, very fun times. But yeah, I don't know about, like, I don't even want to talk about the right back debate anymore. I choose to believe it was just a rest. Okay, that was all I choose to believe.
Okay. I mean, it's the thing. The funny thing was me after the game ended was the result, and it was this thing where we've been crying for Ivana Rossio, and when it happens, we end up losing it. So it does not help our case, but I would still stand by the fact that this is probably our best centre back partnership, even though we lost. I think it's more to do with the tactical stuff than the lineup selection. But yeah, I definitely think these two are our best bet. So getting into the game, we opened the scoring in the 9th minute with via Brun. Senior Brun bundled home a parry from goalkeeper after Ivana took a very venomous shot. Later on, both of Hakan's goal came in the second half. In the 59th minute, Kaffaji scores an absolute thunderbolt from the edge of the box. And then in the 76th minute, Cosola scores from a Kaffaji assist, where it was again a brilliant, brilliant finish. It probably, my reaction to that goal was, oh wow, that's a great goal. Even the first one was really good. So both of their goals were good, but the shift in momentum in the second half was very palpable. I mean, as soon as the second half began, you could sense Haken trying to attack a lot more than they were doing it in the first half, and that reflects in the stats as well. The first half we had 63% of the possession compared to Haken's 37. We had 11 shots, they had just 3. In the second half, if you look at it, however, the possession share was pretty even. We had 55, they had 45. So it was a contested half. So we lost a bit of control. We could only get 5 shots, and Haken managed to get 4. And out of that, 2 of them were on target, whereas none of our 5 shots were on target. And, after we went down, it looked like a lot of hopeful efforts that were coming in. We had only 4 shots. Like 5 of our 4 shots came after we went down, basically. And it seemed like a clear panic at that moment, because we were chasing a game. 15 odd minutes are remaining, and we were just trying anything. There was a Tere effort from the free kick. There was a long shot effort from Zornosa as well, I think. And, we were just trying our luck from range, because we could not figure out a way to penetrate them in the second half, which was weird for me, because that is what was one thing that we did well in the first half, if you think about it. We had a pretty good combination on the left-hand side. Like that left-hand side of Olga, Maite, and Zornosa, that triangles that were forming on the left-hand side, pretty much helped us. Olga had a pretty good game in the first half. Like, she was putting in some good balls. There were players attacking in the box. And, you know, it was pretty good. In the second half, we only managed to have one shot from inside the box. Whereas in the first half, it was a lot more. I mean, out of our 11 shots, let me just check how many were from inside the box. So we had eight shots from inside the box, and that means 7 of our 11 shots in the first half were from inside the box. So it wasn't really a thing that we were struggling with in the first half, but I don't know what went down in that during that half time that we just came out worse. You know, there's this thing in football where momentum swings do happen, but nothing really changed tactically, and still we struggled to penetrate them into the box in the second half, which was the weirdest thing for me. And you know, this has been a theme. Like, this is not the first time it's occurring where our games start off well, but you know, end up very laboriously. We would score a couple of early goals and that would help us see things out. But this time we had just a one goal cushion and we paid the price. So what do you think about, you know, our performance varying from the first half going into the second? And what did you notice anything changing in that second half that, you know, proved detrimental to our performance?
Yeah. So the game, when I say the game was so frustrating that even the second time I was watching it, I couldn't really get anything out of it. So here's all I have to say, okay? So you just said, yeah, I agree that I saw like the left side flowing. And, you know, I think that was the only like part of, you know, our whole lineup that was working. The rest just wasn't there. I don't know what happened anywhere. And to be honest, I didn't even find the first half good. Like, people were saying that, yeah, we had like a good first half. You know, during the halftime, actually, we were still leading, but you know, I didn't like it at all. Like, even in the first 10 minutes, you know, even when we scored, I was like, yeah, we scored, but it was like, you know, long shot by Ivana and Brun getting that rebound. And sure, I mean, yeah, the goal is good, like, and it's welcome in any game like that, but like the way they were playing us, and you know, from the first minute that they started by attacking, they started attacking in the match, and yeah, I don't know, I didn't like it. And then for people to just say, oh, the second half just changed a lot, you know, it's just so, it was so much worse, and both halves were bad to me. I don't know. It was just in the second half, it happened some weird, I don't know, like, maybe after a pause, we tend to have this, like, switch, whether it's for good or whether it's for better or for worse, you know, it depends on the game. So this time it was for the worse. I don't know, maybe it's a switch or something we have, like, after halftime, like, every time. I don't know how the game changes at halftime, but I can't really say that it was much worse. I'll say just it was much more chaotic, because yeah, I didn't really like this first half either, so there's that. Really, I don't know what to say about the first half, let alone what to say about the second half, except when it was so chaotic. The second goal that we conceded was when we were you know, a player down, when Brun got like a concussion or something, and then we were down for like 3 minutes, then we conceded in those 3 minutes, and yeah, you know, chaotic, and everything else. I mean, I don't know. And then our right side completely was disconnected from the beginning of the game with Kenty and Atenea just disconnecting randomly, like on their own, like not even their connection between each other, just on their own. And, you know, from the first half and then second half with the subs and all, very, very, very chaotic. I don't really have anything to analyze, you know? Like, I know I have one thing from the, like, the first half. I noticed that we were, like, trying to get the balls that they were clearing out of their own box, and we were trying to just take long shots. And that's how we ended with like 16 or something shots in total at the end. Like, we just kept doing that randomly. We got the ball, let's do something and just shoot it out. And that happened a lot during the game. So yeah, when that happens, yeah, it's one of the main signs that it's gonna be a frustrating game. So yeah, it was. So yeah, I was right. And then our midfield was very, very not present, let's say. How Maite and Tere were, I don't know. In this like lineup, I don't know. It was just very weird from them, you know? It was just very weird. It's not something I'm used to seeing from them. And I know a lot of people were complaining about them. But it's just very weird to see that. It's just, I'm not worried about them, you know? I'm not ever worried about my Tere. I'm worried about how he makes them look like on the pitch. That's the problem, usually, you know, with them when people complain. So, yeah. But, yeah, we were just bad at, like, preventing their crosses as well. Like, Atenea was, I think, let every cross happen on her side, like, when she was pulling back and something. Yeah. I don't really have any, you know, analysis on this game. It's just like one page of a few notes and like the goal stamps. I would just have nothing else to say. It's just pure chaos. So yeah. I think I'll stop here, to be honest.
Interesting that you bring up the midfield, and I think I would like to talk about it as well, because you know this midfield composition, that is the drawback here, because even if you look at the average position, it's Tere holding the ground and everyone else is pushed up. And that puts a lot of pressure on Tere to, you know, cover a lot of ground, control a lot of territory. And that is pretty, I would say, pretty unrealistic. Because if you go look at the average position for this game, it's at two center backs. It's almost like a 2-3-5 where we have two center backs and, you know, Tere with Sawawa on one side and Kenty on the other around the halfway line. And then it's a sea of five players pushed forwards. You know, Maite is obviously around the same. Maite was pushing into the box a lot. And I quite like that. I think that is pretty good. But the problem was Zornosa was really high pushed up. And I think that is what comes with this midfield composition, because you have assigned Maite a offensive role, right? An attacking role, and she is doing her part. But the difference between a Tere and a Toletti dynamic to a Tere and a Zornosa dynamic, or a Toletti and a Zornosa dynamic, is exactly this. In Tere and Toletti midfield double pivot, you have both players trying to cover that territory, but here it was just one, and that is why it was pretty easy for them in the second half to, you know, sort of just bypass it. Because if you remember the second goal, it comes off from a pass from their left hand side to the right hand side, and there was nobody to, you know, block it. It came in a transition situation, but you know, that is how bad we are positioned to deal with a transition situation, because there was nobody. There was literally nobody. And that is the problem. I mean, for me in the second half, what changed really was this. Like, we have this thing where we cannot sustain our level for an entire 90, and that has been a thing ever since we have started, because every time we would start, we would score early, and then it would be about surviving the game. Like, we have discussed this so many times in the past, Kanita, as well, where, you know, we keep bringing up this game state, how it affected the opposition, how it affected this, and a lot of the times when teams go down, they crumble. Haken did not, and we paid the price for it. So, you know, it's not always going to be smooth sailing. So, yeah, and this definitely was not one of them. So we have a lot of, you know, negative sort of to discuss. But I would definitely like to highlight two of our quite good performers in my opinion. And I think one of them, despite the result, I think Ivana once again showcased that she is definitely our best center back. You know, the goal that we scored, it does not happen without Ivana. And that is what I'm talking about. With Ivana, even playing as the left-sided center back, she can offer you that ball carrying from the defense to, you know, get that progression. Because that first goal is all about Ivana, right? She's carrying the ball through the midfield into the final third. And she takes a really good... She combines and she takes a really good shot from outside the box. And it hits the keeper, and then falls in kindly for Senior Brun, who slots at home. But that goal was all about Ivana and what she offers, not just out of possession defensively and as a captain, but also with the ball. And that is a difference maker. You know, you play her on the right and she's more comfortable in doing that. But even playing her on the left, is she's no slouch, right? She's moving the ball, she's bringing the ball out. And that particularly helps because we don't necessarily have the possession structure around our players to be able to do that structurally or with passes. So you need very good ball carriers, and Ivana is one of them. So I felt like she had a good game. Now, this is very counterintuitive to say in a game where we conceded twice and, you know, we lost the game. But I feel like Ivana once again showed her worth to the team. And I still stand by the fact that she is our best center back. And no matter what results in these Barcelona games or the Chelsea one or BK Haken one is, I think she should continue to start. And yeah, I mean, what were your thoughts on Ivana's performance? I know we have very dull performances lately by the team, but I think there are a couple of individual performances that we can, you know, talk about and maybe try to cheer ourselves up. So what did you make of this Ivana performance against Haken?
So lately when she's been playing, she's been actually showing she's our best center back. And I agree with everything you said. I'll just like to add one thing, and that's like one instance which can describe Ivana, like Ivana's performance lately, and especially in this game. It's, I think, like towards the end of the match, and I think it's even the added time. So she's actually on the side, trying to stop, I don't know who was running in, and she couldn't stop her. Like she messed up there. So basically she like left Rocio there alone, and like I don't know who was there, no one was around that player, and she would just ran away from Ivana, but Ivana didn't stop. She didn't give up, so she ran with her, and she actually got the ball, she stole it and got it to the throw-in. So she saved a very important chance there as well. I mean, we still lost even with the chance, but you know, that's like kind of chances. You know, it just really shows that, you know, even if she like loses the ball, even if she loses the challenge, she won't give up on it. And she didn't. And she always like you can always count on her to come save us at the last second. Her tackles are very like famous for last second tackles. I mean, I can talk about them the every time it happens. So yeah, I really love those. And like every other save, they're like not just tackles, everything, even if it's outside of the box, like things like this that Ivana is really good at. So yeah, I mean, she's really important, and as you said, as a captain as well. So yeah, she's the one that really nagged our medical team to go get Brun out of the pitch, because we noticed that Brun was not feeling well like 9 minutes after her hit in the head. And then first Rocio was signaled, and then Ivana was really proactive there and got the medical team on the pitch and shouted at the ref as well. So yeah, very important work there as well. So yeah, big shout out to Ivana. And man, she really has to play. Like, this is like, I don't know how many times I've said this. I just, we need Ivana. That's it. Just Ivana, please. And on the right side, you know, it's where she's, yeah. Just don't switch the center back sides, please. I can't do this anymore. I just can't watch them suffer on wrong sides of the pitch anymore, you know. So yeah, there's that. Big shout out to Ivana. So yeah, peace.
Yeah, so you know, Ivana was responsible for the only goal we scored, and she is good, guys. She is good. Pretty counterintuitive, I know, to say it in a game where we lost to Haken, conceding twice, but yeah, that's what it is. It is what it is. Let's talk about their goals. So in the 59th minute, Kafaji equalizes, and it comes from a cross, which, you know, Rocio and Ivana both try to clear, but none of them fail. Both of them fail, actually, to clear it properly. And it falls very kindly for Kafaji to charge at it and, you know, just whip it with venom, and she hits it really, really well. It's very difficult for Misa to stop it, and that's the goal. And I think beyond that point, we just completely crumble. You can sense their home fans getting behind them, and I think in that moment, in that pressure situation, we absolutely threw it away. Because the second goal comes in a transition, and they put the ball from the left to the right. The player cuts in, like Kosola is charging. Kosola from right back position is charging. Kafaji plays her in. She picks the ball up, cuts slightly inside, and then curls one in top corner. That's a top bin goal. Like, when I saw that, I was pretty impressed. And that was some strike. Both of their goals were pretty well taken. So, yeah, I mean, and once we went down, we just lost any sort of calmness that we had, any sort of composure that we had. Then there were shots coming out from 40 yards, like couple of shots coming out from 40 yards. You know, all the shots that we took after that, bar one, was up from outside the box, like we mentioned. So, you know, we basically just crumbled under pressure in that moment as soon as they equalized, I think. And yeah, in the second half, the game absolutely turned on its head. And the reason, another player that I would like to talk about from Haken this time would probably be Anna Anvegaard. I think she had a very good game. I don't know if you have any notes on her, but she was a part of when we did the preview for the Champions League, right? We highlighted Anna Anvegor. We highlighted Rubenson. We highlighted Avi Luik from Australia. So, you know, Anna Anvegor is a really good striker. We have all known that. And she's playing from this wide right position where she now comes in and does a bit more work than she used to do traditionally as the number nine. But now Anvegor is doing a lot more. She's helping out defensively. She's turning creator. And with the striker up front, it takes some attention away from her. So she has been scoring goals as well. And she scored some 10-odd goals this season. So she's back in that goal-scoring touch. And I knew she was going to be a problem. And I think she had a very good game. Same goes for Kafaji. I think a very, very good game from Kafaji as well. And yeah, I mean, do you have anything to add for Anna Anvegor or Kafaji?
I don't have any notes on them, but I know that every time there was a chance or something that gave us trouble, especially Anvegod was in it. I was seeing her in all those instances. So yeah, there's that. I don't really have anything specific, but yeah, she was really, really noticeable. That's all I have to say. Kafaji as well, both of them. And yeah, I mean, Kafaji's goal contribution in this game also shows that. So yeah, I have nothing else to add.
And the thing that I mentioned about, you know, striker taking some attention away from Anna Anvegor, and Anna Anvegor making the most of it, getting into the box. If you look at the touches in the box for Haken in this game, split by player, Anna Anvegor is leading the charge. Haken only had 8 touches in the box, and 5 of them were from Anna Anvegor. So Schroeder was moving differently, and it was Anna Anvegor who, you know, tried to capitalize on that and, you know, make the most of it. So it was really nice. It is actually quite nice to see Anvegor thriving in from this wider position, because yeah, I mean, she is a good player, and I don't think she is that old either. I think she's 25 26. Okay, she's 26 now, so yeah, she's just entering her peak years, quote unquote. So yeah, pretty good performance from her. And I think one other player that I would also like to mention, and this one is from our side, based on that first half performance alone, and you know how she's always this really persistent sort of player, I would say Olga had a pretty good game too, right? I mean, in the first half, she was pretty spectacular. She was carrying the ball. She was dribbling her opponents. She was putting the cross in. She was very involved in the first half. Like, her combinations with Maite, her combination with Zornosa on that left-hand side was quite good. And yeah, I mean, the result might not be the best, but you know, Olga had a quite good game. If you look at even the numbers for her, she had the most progressive carries of any player in the game. Her dribble, like, she completed 5 out of her 6 dribbles, which is very impressive. And she had 2 touches in the box, which is only bettered by Senior Brun with 3. So, you know, excuse me. But yeah, she's everywhere. She was doing a lot. She was helping out defensively. She was carrying the ball. She was good at beating her marker. And yeah, I mean, in the first half at least, I think Olga was very, very involved. And she was making the most out of everything that she got. And you know, if you look at her defensive thing, whenever she went into a challenge, she probably won her duels as well. And you know, that's pretty impressive. I would say she was everywhere for me, at least in the first half. I would say that was a pretty impressive half from Olga. What did you make of Olga's performance overall? And you know, do you have anything specific you want to add about her?
Yeah, it's very interesting that she had 100% successful tackles and also dribbles. So, 100% success rate in those two. Pretty good, But aside from the, numbers, you can really see how important she was in the game. I think for when it comes to, our team, give the player of the match to her because, whenever you see us doing something, it's through her, whether it's attacking or defending. So, yeah, I mean, not only was she noticeable, I think she was our best part of the match. Together with we also talked about Ivana, so I mean those two were pretty important in the game, but I'd give it to Olga at the end of the day. She really did a lot, and yeah, she's just very important, and yeah, love to see it again. Love to see Olga in form.
Yeah, and I think nothing summarized our lack of depth better than the sort of subs that we were making, you know. So we replaced Athenea with Raso. Okay, that's something that, you know, we envisioned doing when we signed Raso. That was the plan, to substitute her for Athenea. Oihane came on as well for Kenty. That's fine. Not really an outstanding game-changing sub probably, but then when you look at when we went down and when we started looking at our options to, you know, bring on and try to change the game for us, we brought on Sousa to replace Sawawa and go into that sort of back three and try to do it. We brought on Marisa, a 17-year-old from our academy who made her debut, you know. Not the best result, but congratulations to her. It's always nice to see kids from the academy coming up and playing for the first team. Even some last 10 minutes, 15 minutes, it doesn't matter. It's a big thing for them, and I think that was quite nice to see her come on and try to make a mark for herself in that pressure situation. And then we brought on Moller for Brune because, you know, now we don't have Ferrer to replace Brune. So our options from the bench were also pretty limited, and that is what I'm talking about when I say those injuries not just hurt us with because of the players that we lost, but now we literally do not have anyone to bring on from the bench who we can trust can produce goals, because so far and throughout her career, Hayley Raso hasn't been very prolific, right? Caroline Moller is again in and out stuff. We don't know, I mean, if the next game Brune will probably miss because of a concussion thing or no. Because if she does, we are totally wrecked because our only option up front would be Moller then. And, you know, Moller has always been in and out of the team apart from that stretch last season towards the end. So yeah, that was the case, and it was pretty jarring to see because, you know, you are trailing a game last 15 minutes. You want to have at least one option who can come on, who you can believe can score. But when the subs were made, I did not for even a single point think that we were going to be able to score here because we just had nobody who I can look to who can score, you know. What did you make of that? I mean, what were your thoughts when those subs came in? And, you know, we spoke about this at the start as well, but what about the depth? Like, how does that those set of injuries affect us overall in terms of, you know, game-changing substitutions that we can make?
Yeah, I mean, going into this match, we knew that we didn't really have options off the bench, not by our choice. Obviously, the injuries got the best of it. But the Muller thing, yeah, I think that one is on the real. Yeah, I mean, we keep seeing how Brune is like our, only option for the striker position, the only real one. And if she's out, then we're basically left with no striker there. And especially with Feller out now as well, like we actually don't have anyone. We have to rely on Muller, who doesn't even play, which is a very much of a total problem. She got renewed, and she doesn't play like barely anything. I think these were her first minutes in Champions League this year. So yeah, starting from the qualifiers as well, not just the group stage. So yeah, there's that. It's definitely on Toril. And yeah, I knew that the subs would have to be weird. The Raso one was the most expected one, obviously, especially because Athena is just disconnected on the right side whenever she plays on the right. I don't know how. It's just yeah. I'm glad for Marisa. She got minutes, like 9 minutes, right? I saw some interesting stuff. Like, I don't know, we couldn't really see a lot, obviously. She was playing with Muller in the front, and Muller was going wider as well and like helping both Vojana and Dolga. And yeah, and Marisa was trying to position herself. And yeah, she did a pretty good job, and plus she's tall. I noticed that, so very good. A tall 17-year-old, good. I don't know much about her, so that was like the first time me experiencing the game with Marisa, so there's that. I don't know anything about her except for what I saw in the match. The rest of the subs, I don't know. There was a formation change and trying to do something, and nothing worked. Very also a huge factor was that Muller was subbed on, who doesn't really play, so the team doesn't really know her anymore. And again, Toril's fault. That's all on Toril. So yeah, the weirdness of the subs were factored by various things, and it were just very chaotic, all of it. And the fact that I mentioned that the hit that Brune suffered, and the moment she had to go off the pitch was like 9 minutes difference. He had enough time to send the mother to warm up immediately. And I don't know why he waited like extra 3 4 minutes to sub her in. Just like, it could have been done in a minute or something, and we conceded in that when we were with the player down. So yeah, there's I don't know anymore. Very chaotic turn of events with the subs, as always. Honestly, whenever we do good subs, which is very very rarely, and we've talked about it like recently. We had a few games with good subs, but this one with a lot of these factors, they're just no. It could have been handled better again, but no. Could have been handled better before the game, and just the Mueller thing. So yeah. I could go on the rant again. This whole match is just very good material for rants, but yeah, I won't really go any further than that.
Yeah, I mean, this is basically a bit of a poor planning for the squad, I feel, because going into the season, and we spoke about this, we mentioned this multiple times, our only backup for Brune realistically was Carla Camacho. So you're putting a lot of pressure, a lot of responsibility on, or relying on, a 17-year-old who will be playing her first full sort of season after being integrated into the first team dynamics. So, it's always a tough ask. It seemed quite foolish then, and it certainly has proved to be even more stupid. So yeah, I mean, that is it. I guess that is about it for the game. The one thing now, though, we drew with Chelsea and we have lost against Haken. That leaves us in a tricky spot now, because okay, Haken won both the games. I mistakenly said that they had drawn the first game, but they have won both of their games. So Haken is on 6 points now, and Chelsea is on 4. We are 3rd with 1 point out of 2 games, and Paris FC are yet to open their account. But you know, Paris FC are not an easy team to face against, and we have seen that in the qualifiers as well. And you know, given the way we are playing and given our injuries, and given that there's an international break coming up as well, which could mean some more injuries, which hope not. But yeah, things don't really look that positive. And another group stage elimination would have to bring down the axe, because this is just not acceptable. And I think this is where the difference between, you know, a team like AS Roma, because I have seen, you know, last game we discussed about this, where fans are like, are we being left behind? Are we trailing the pack and stuff like that? And I feel this is where the difference actually emerges. Player by player and depth wise, we are probably comparable or better, you know, when it comes to Roma. On a player-to-player quality-wise basis, I think we have a very good squad. But the difference becomes, or the difference arrives when, you know, when you look at how Spugna has been using Roma squad. You know, the squad is tailor-made for the manager. I mean, I don't necessarily wholeheartedly support that, because, you know, players obviously outlast the manager 99% of the time. So you have to bring in players who are versatile enough to play for the next manager that you're going to bring in. But what Roma have done here is they have provided Spugna with all the tools he needs to succeed and brought on some really versatile players who can fill in multiple positions, who can play in multiple positions, and who can deliver while playing some makeshift role as well. So, you know, Saki Kumagai, we all know her as a center back. We all know her as a midfielder, and now she's playing in midfield. They got Walter Zate, who can play in midfield and who can play as the center back. Linari is the same. Bartoli can play multiple positions. Javi can play multiple positions. You know, Giugliano, last season she was DM, now she's playing in an offensive role. So, you know, that squad has tools as well, and ours does too. It's how you utilize it, how Spugna utilizes it differently than Toril. That is what makes the difference. Roma won last night again, and, you know, they are a side who have now gone toe-to-toe with Bayern and, you know, held their ground, who are doing very well in their domestic league, in their cup competitions, and in the Champions League, without necessarily having the biggest and the most talented depth ever. But they have depth, they have usable depth. They have curated their squad in such a way, they have planned their squad in such a way that the manager can trust and rely on every single player and give out those opportunities to make the difference when it counts. And that is what is happening. That is why Roma are on the up and we are not. And I think that is where a figure like Spugna and those constant talks about team planning and, you know, signing players to provide you option comes into play, which we have failed on all grounds, in my opinion. So, yeah, the group hangs in balance at the moment, and any further loss from here means we are probably out, because that Chelsea game in the second leg will always be tough. Sam Kerr recently scored a hat-trick against Paris FC. So, you know, there is that. Sam Kerr is always a threat. They have too many people that we, you know, need to worry about. There's Wrighton, there's Cuthbert, there's Lauren James, there's Niam Charles, there's all sorts of players. There's Fran Kirby. And now Haken have shown that they have the caliber, they have the pedigree as well. So, you know, you cannot just write them off. Paris FC, the same thing. You write them off and they come at you and, you know, prove you wrong. They have shown that in the qualifiers. So It's not smooth sailing. It does not look good, not going to lie, but yeah, it is what it is. And we definitely need to improve in that regard and as soon as possible, because otherwise another group stage elimination seems a very likely option here. Do you have any concluding thoughts, Kanita, about this, or we can then wrap this up?
Yeah, I mean, you used Roma as an example, but we also talked about Levante, you know, a team like closer to us, you know, because they play in the league and, you know, they defeated us in the last game we played. And they're actually tied with us. We're just second on the table because one goal difference more than them. So, and then we talked about the difference between their squad and ours, and, you know, in the management, that how the team is handled, because this is a team sport. And yeah, and you know, I just don't know if there's any other explanation other than Toril really, really tries to make this team look bad. No matter who's available, who's unavailable, just really tries to make them look bad. I don't know why. I don't have no other explanation. I really don't have any other explanation. Like, I've been trying to figure things out. I've tried to answer the question why to many scenarios we've lived through, you know. But yeah, I think this is the only plausible one at this point. And his excuses after all these matches, it's really just confirming my case. You know, he just said, he was asked what happened in the second half, and he just said, you know, it's football. So yeah, there's that. Yeah, another potential rant, which I'll just end, because yeah, it's not really worth taking my energy for this. You know, I just gonna waste my energy for it, and we already ranted a lot about it. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we speak about this almost every game at this point, because the performances this season have been absolutely atrocious, in my opinion. And, you know, we kept getting away with the results even towards the end of the last season. And now we can't, because, you know, a certain magician named Caroline Weir isn't there anymore. And we now don't even have a certain magician named Linda Caicedo. So yeah, we are in deep waters now. But yeah, whatever. We will continue supporting the club. We'll continue supporting the players and hope we can bounce back in the next game before we head into the international break. I think that's what comes up next. But yeah, we'll bring you the same post-game pod for that as well. And yeah, until then, a la Madrid.
A la Madrid.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.